All right. We good here? All right. Got sound. This turned down. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Working our way through the book of John and working our way through chapter 6. What do we have here? How many verses total in John? 71 verses. Well, that ought to hold us till August, shouldn't it? Any other church it would. Us, it'll hold us till next January. John chapter number 6. Boy, we've looked at a lot of things here in this chapter. And last week, we saw that the disciples were crossing over the sea. They were in a boat, and the sea was stormy. And Christ walked upon the sea out to where they were. And when they received him into the ship, it says that immediately they were at the land. Okay? Immediately they were where they were headed. Okay? He gets into the boat, and now they're over there where they're headed to. And so this week we pick up in verse 22. John 6 and verse 22. Okay? The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they say unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we just come to you one more time and we ask that you would bless the preaching of your word, Lord, that it would change us, and that you would do a mighty work amongst us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. What we have seen already and what you will see all through the Gospels is that people seek Jesus for different reasons. People follow after Christ for different reasons. People go to church for different reasons. Now, there is only one acceptable reason, but there are people who have multiple reasons, okay? And here we have a crowd. Let me just kind of explain what has happened, because when you read those first few verses, you have to slow down to figure out the direction that's going. What happens is, you go back, Jesus took those few loaves of bread and those fish and fed all of those men with them, performed that miracle. His disciples get in a boat and they're going across the sea. During the night or during whenever it was that this storm comes up, okay, Jesus didn't go with them. He goes off by himself. He doesn't go with them. The boat leaves without him. They're out on the sea. It's stormy, the water's churning. He walks upon the sea to them, he gets in the boat, and now they're on the land where they were headed, okay, over in Capernaum. Then some people who had witnessed that miracle of the loaves and the fish and who had eaten, they're looking around for Jesus. They know the disciples are gone because the boat's gone, and they know that Jesus didn't go with them, but they can't find Jesus. So they go over to Capernaum, and they find the disciples and Christ over there. And then they come to Jesus, and they ask him, basically, how do you get over here? What are you doing over here? You didn't go with them. Because they saw that the disciples left and that he stayed, and now he's not there. Now he's on the other side. How'd you get here? How did you get over here? You didn't go with them. How many times do people have questions for God that's not the main question that they need answered? That's not really what they need. How many times do people have this question and there's a greater need? Remember Nicodemus back in chapter 3 came to Jesus and he said basically to him, he said, we know that you're sent from God or you wouldn't be able to do the works that you do. And Jesus didn't say anything about that. He looked at Nicodemus and he didn't say, you're right or well said or anything like that. He looked right at Nicodemus. He didn't talk about his power. He just looked at Nicodemus and said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The first thing he dealt with was, Nicodemus, you're a lost man that needs to be saved. Your soul is going to spend eternity in the flames of hell. That's what you need to deal with right now. So when people want to know all these other things that don't matter, we just get around that. And we deal with, first of all, are you saved? Are you going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ? Because that is what matters. People seek Christ for all these different reasons. There are all these different things. Here's another group of people. They're seeking Him because of something that He gave them physically. Their bellies were full. You say, Pastor, that's kind of harsh to say that about them. No, that's what Jesus said about them. Look at verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles. What did the miracles do? They proved that He was the Son of God. He said, you're not seeking me because you saw the power, you saw the miracles, you saw the proof. He said, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. He said, you're looking for me because your bellies were filled. You're looking for me because I did something temporal for you. People come to Christ or they'll come to a church or whatever the situation may be whenever we need this fixed. We need this changed. We need God to fix this problem for us. We need God to meet this need or do this while never being interested in the real need. People will call the church or people will come to a church or they'll go to a pastor or they'll go to a Christian for something temporal and never, never, never get around to where their soul's going to spend eternity. So what if your belly's full if your soul is going to spend eternity in hell? You know what? You'll get hungry again. You get hungry again. That bill will come due again. This problem might go away, and then there'll be another one. But one day all those problems are going to end because you're going to die. You're going to leave this world. One day all those problems are going to end, and there'll be no more bills and food needed on the table and all that stuff. And it's just going to be you and God Almighty. What's the answer then? You know what's going to matter then? What'd you do with His Son, Jesus Christ? And people were always seeking Jesus in Scripture for something physical, something temporal. He healed 10 lepers and one of them came back. 9 of them went off. All right, we got our problem fixed. That's it. One of them came back. Worshipped Him. Thanked Him. One of them. The church is nothing's any different today. It's the same way now. People are interested in God if God will fix their problems, if God will meet all these needs, but they're not interested in repenting of their sin, putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and living their lives for Him because of who He is and because He has saved them from hell. Now, He tells us in the Word that He'll take care of us, He'll provide for us, His people, those believers. But even believers have problems, do we not? Come on, my problems haven't disappeared. Have your problems disappeared since you got saved? No, but you know what? I don't have to handle my problems anymore. He handles them for me. He shows me what to do. He shows me how to deal with it. He shows me what steps to take. I'm not alone anymore. Before, I had to face my problems all by myself because the devil isn't going to help me. And the world isn't going to help me. But now I've got help. People seek why? People seek an experience. oftentimes. People seek, they would come and listen to Christ because they just liked what he was saying. Ooh, we'd never heard this before. Go to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. People would come and listen. While you're turning there, let me say this. Even among believers, sometimes we people who are they're saved, they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they're going to heaven. But even among believers, sometimes you have believers who are interested in the things of God and growing and being who He wants them to be and witnessing for Him and living their lives out for Him. And then you have others that after salvation, they basically just want to know, how's God going to improve things for me? Or then you have believers who they're saved and they love God and they're thankful and all that. But when it comes to the Bible and when it comes to church, they just love learning those facts. Oh, Pastor, that's really neat. I never saw that before. Okay, that's good. But does it stop there? Or do we say, I didn't realize the Bible said that. Now I need to let that change me. Some people get real excited over learning new things and learning facts and all that. You got a head full of facts, or is the Word of God changing your life because you're allowing it to change your life? You're being obedient to it and you're putting it into practice. In Acts chapter 17, there was a group of people. Find verse 16. Let's read about this group here. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. See, nothing's changed. This is the most idol-worshiping nation on the face of earth, I'm convinced, that we live in today. He said, oh, we don't worship idols. That's what those people, that's what those savages do. Those savages, they worship idols. Those savages paint themselves up. They paint themselves up and they go out and they've got their places where they get together and they worship their idols and they chant unto their idols and that's not us. No. No. That's not going on in our country. Because no one in the United States of America paints their faces or paints their bodies and goes to a special place and yells and chants for their idols who are trying to get a little piece of rubber from one end of the field to the other. Come on, we got to understand what idol worship really is. Okay, it's not something that's just found in the jungles somewhere. There's plenty of it. Come on, we have television shows. American what? Idol. I don't even know if that thing's still on. I don't know. I never watched it or cared, but I know it was on for a long time. We live in a country full of idols and idol worshipers. And you want to know the biggest idol that's worshipped in this country? It's that one that people are looking at in the mirror every morning. Self. 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 I need to take another selfie. I need to put it on YouTube. I need to people see my face on my Facebook. Me, 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 me. Don't worry, Pastor's not going to go down this road this morning. We've gone down it enough. The idol of self. Paul is in Athens and he says the whole city's given to idolatry. And then look what happens. In verse 17, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market with them that met with him. These are religious people. He's arguing with religious people. Why? Because they're religious, not born again. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods. They're worshiping idols. Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine, wherefore of thou speakest, is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, that these things, what these things mean. Now look, right here it is. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. I firmly believe we have people in churches who, yeah, I just want to, I like hearing that. That's neat. I like learning that. That's what, tell me that, tell me that. And it never reaches the heart. It never changes the heart because they never respond in obedience. Tell me that. Tell me that. I want to learn that. But I'm not going to change. These people sought him because he did something for them physically. He said, because you were filled. He said, that's why you're seeking me, because I fed you. That's why you're following me, because I fed you. You might think this is harsh, but you know what I liken it to? Ever had a stray dog show up? Who couldn't get a stray animal to stay around the house or follow you because you fed it? The dog isn't staying there because you have a wonderful personality. The dog isn't staying there because they think you're the most wonderful thing in the world. You gave them something to eat. Quit feeding them and they'll leave. They'll go find something else.
Poochie would never do that to me.
Yes, Poochie will. Poochie will leave you in a heartbeat. Okay? Why? Hungry. Following you around because you fed them. Again, you don't feed them, they get hungry, they're going to go. They're going to leave. That's what these people, he did something for us physically. We wanted something physical. We wanted our bellies filled. That's what we wanted. That's what we wanted. Let's go see if we can get something else. He says that of them. He says that of them. He says, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. What you're looking for, what you're trying to find, is something to satisfy your flesh, something to satisfy another temporal need. These people were going to get hungry again, weren't they? He fed them. That's why they followed him. It wasn't because he took a handful of bread and a handful of fish and multiplied it greatly. That wasn't why they followed him. They followed him just because they ate of it. We got something to eat there. We got something to eat there. Let's go. They're going to get hungry again. But I remember a woman in the fourth chapter of John who came to a well, and Jesus told her, I can give you living water, and you drink that and you'll never thirst again. If she drank that physical water, she's going to get thirsty again. He could have drawn it up and given it to her, and she would have been thirsty again. But Jesus told her, you drink of the living water. What was he dealing with? Her lost condition. You get saved. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will seal you, and you will not taste death. You might go by physical death, but you will not spend eternity in hell. You'll spend eternity with Jesus Christ, and you won't need anything else spiritually, because it'll be done. It's finished. You'll be sealed. Never thirst again. Oh, physically she'd get hungry again. She'd get thirsty again. He wasn't talking about the physical. He was talking about the spiritual. We won't turn there this morning for sake of time, but if you want to mark down, if you're taking notes, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20 is the parable of the sower, and many of you know what that is. And this seed is sown, and a sower goes out and he sows this seed, and some of it falls by the wayside, and the birds eat it up, and that's the devil snatching it away. Okay, and then some of it springs up really quick, and then the plants die, like planting something in a garden with a lot of rocks. It can't get nourished. It has no depth of root. And it springs up and it looks like, hey, look, it's really growing. No, sun came out, it died. And then there was some that came up, and then all these thorns and thistles choked it out and killed it. And Christ said the first one, Satan snatched it away. The second one, it didn't have any depth. You know, I think that's kind of who we're dealing with here. These people were excited about what they were, you know, what Jesus was feeding them, and boy, this is really something. You know, he's feeding them, but they didn't have any depth of earth. They weren't trusting him for salvation. He said it's not because of the miracles. You say, wait a minute, he did the miracle. What he meant was they weren't following him because they saw the proof that he was the Son of God. They followed him just because he fed them. And then you have those that the thorns and thistles, and Christ said that was when the cares of the world. You know, some people hear the gospel and they know they need to be saved and God's dealing with them, but you know what? I just don't want to let go of my sin. I don't want to let go of my lust. I don't want to let go of these things. That's just more important to me. I would rather do that. Or things that aren't sinful come in. But it's just stuff that it just pulls you away. But then there was one seed that fell on, there was a difference. He said, good ground. The heart that repents and says, I'm a sinner on my way to hell. I deserve that. I need to be saved. The Bible says if I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross, His death, burial, and resurrection, that He died for my sin. If I put my faith in Him and I trust in Him, I can be saved. And He says that seed sprang up and brought forth fruit. Some of the other seed sprang up a little bit. This one brought forth fruit. Some 30, some 60. Okay? You have all different types of people that hear the gospel. You have all different types of people that will go to church or will listen to a sermon. But not everybody has the right reason. My question to you this morning is this: what are you seeking? What are you seeking? No one in his natural state seeks after God. We know that. Romans tells us that. There is none that seeketh after Him. Okay, we know that. But God calls every man. Later on in this chapter, we're going to read where Jesus talks about how the Father has to draw you. But Scripture makes it clear that He draws everybody. Nobody will be able to stand before God and say, I didn't get saved because you didn't draw me. Okay, we'll look at that later on. He draws everywhere, everyone. Why would the Bible tell us back here in Acts 17, we didn't go that far, but back in Acts 17, Peter says that God commands every man everywhere to repent. Well, how's God going to command everybody to repent if He didn't draw everybody, but He draws everybody? Okay? He has to, or these verses don't make sense. Let's say this morning that there's a lost person. Their sin hasn't been dealt with, and they're seeking the answer to something temporal. Okay? Well, maybe God will do this for me. Maybe God will do that for me. Maybe God will fix this for me. These people came because he fed them. And he said, look at what he said in verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. See, they're going to get hungry again. But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Salvation. One day, we will leave this world. And we're not going to be hungry anymore. There is, you know how we have a funeral and we put on a dinner. Not being disrespectful, but have you ever thought about this? The guest of honor doesn't take a bite of food, does he? You hold a funeral, we're saying goodbye to this one person, everybody else is eating but him.
He ain't hungry anymore. Everybody else got to get up and go to work in the morning. Not him. That's done with. The rest of us got to go home and make sure the gas is still on. Or run home and make sure we didn't leave it on. The rest of us got to go to work and pay the bills and get, okay? Not him. He's done with that. But he's going to stand before Almighty God. What have you done with my son? Are you saved? And nobody stands before Almighty God with a rumbling belly. What am I going to eat? Oh, I died before I got that light bill caught up. Oh, I didn't get this taken care of. Who's gonna finish paying off my car? Nobody stands before God and has that question. Who's going to do it? There is one question. What did you do with Jesus Christ? Did you reject Him or did you trust Him for salvation? Has He forgiven your sin? Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? And there are only two answers, yes or no, and only one of them will save you from the fires of hell. And by the way, by then, it's too late to make that decision. That decision has to be made here and then on the other side. It's going to be decided here. There won't be a tribunal. There won't be a looking over your works. It'll be decided here. But, no. It's all done here. Now, maybe you're sitting here this morning. You said, Pastor, I'm saved. If you're saved this morning, you might be thinking, okay, I've got that taken care of. I'm saved. Back up. If you haven't got that taken care of, that's your number one problem right now. That needs to be taken care of. Now let's step forward. If you have got that taken care of, if you are saved, if you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you know the Bible said that you were a sinner on your way to hell and you agreed with that and said, yes, God is right, that what He says about me is right. I'm on my way to hell and I am wrong, He is right, and I am going to trust Him for salvation and put my faith and trust in Him. If you can say this morning, that has been taken care of, the question still remains, what are you seeking? Now that you've been saved, is life as a Christian about living for Christ and serving Christ and being a witness for Christ and encouraging other Christians and being a good husband, being a good wife, being a good father, being a good mother, being a good employer or employee, being a good student, being a good teacher, being a good witness, being a good neighbor? See, you could do all of those things before salvation and you'd still be lost. But now that you're saved, God wants you to be all of those things so that you can be a better witness to lead other people to Him. Or have you gotten saved and it's all been about, God, what are you going to do for me next? What's important? What are you seeking? God, what's the next big thing you're going to do for me? Don't we live in a world of the next big thing? What's the next big thing? What's the next product that's going to change everybody's lives? I'll tell you what. I know a product that would change everybody's lives. A little chip that you install on your cell phone and it blows the thing up and it never works again. That'd change the lives of half of this world, wouldn't it? My boys and I were talking about that this weekend, and this is a sad reality. How many people, this is when we were on our fishing trip, how many people, if electricity went out for weeks and stores didn't have any food, and how would people respond? You realize there's a lot of people just in this town that wouldn't know where to start. Catching a fish, killing a squirrel, killing a deer. But you know what they would know? Those of us that live out there in the country, they know how to do it. How many people nowadays wouldn't know even how to take care of themselves because they rely on somebody else taking care of them? But we live in a world that's the next big thing, the next, you know, we're looking for this and that, and I've grown tired of that. I need something else. Is that the kind of Christian that you are? Do you serve God and live for God because He is God and He has saved you from hell? Or is your service dependent upon what He's going to do for you? There are blessings in obedience to God's word. But the Bible also says, yea, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Bible also says that if you're living for Christ, there's going to be persecution. Okay? What are we serving for? Let me tell you, if your motive is who God is, your motive will never change because He never changes. If your motive is what He's doing for me, the temporal things, hey, that will break down, that will stop working, that will go bad, you will get hungry again, and you'll need something else. Let me ask you this. Do you serve God just because you just like the fellowship that we have here in church? Hey, I really enjoy the fellowship. I love this church family. It's a wonderful thing. But you do realize that if one by one or all at once, everybody in here decided next week we're going someplace else, you do realize that your pastor's going to keep loving God and keep serving God because he didn't change. You do realize that if I left this place, if you came in here Sunday morning, where's he at? Brother Randy says, I heard a bunch of noise in the middle of the night last night. Their house was empty this morning. They have skipped town. They are gone. They loaded up that camper and hit. They're gone. All I know is they left the cat, and we got to feed that cat now. That's okay. We feed one another's cat. My cat goes over there to eat, and his comes over here, over to our house to eat. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Pastor gave up. Pastor, what you say, that stuff doesn't happen. It happens in churches all the time. A pastor just says, you know what? God told me he's got another place for me, and he leaves. Or a pastor leaves with somebody else's wife. Or he leaves with the church's money. It happens all the time. What's it going to do to your service? Well, I tell you what, you're going to find out right away why you were serving, because of the pastor or because of God. And those that serve God for who He is say, boy, that hurts. I hate that that happened. Well, we got to get us another man in there. Got to keep going. Those that are serving because of who the pastor is or because of who's sitting in the pew, because of their church, because of the fellowship, because of the camaraderie, those are the ones that give up. Brother John and I, Brother John and Sister Carol and I were talking about an individual. Nobody else knows him, so we can gossip about him. No, they were sharing with me that they have invited someone to church. And a lot of you have heard this excuse. Now, I won't go into what it was, but they were in a church where a pastor did something bad. And so that's why they won't go to church. Okay, we get that that stuff hurts. We get that. God didn't do that to you. God didn't tell that pastor to run off with that money or that woman. God didn't. No, that had nothing to do with God. That had to do with sin and the devil and flesh and self. You see, if we're seeking what God wants in our lives, if that's what we want to do, we just want to please Him, well, He's never going to change. What are you seeking this morning? Are you looking for a better life? Are you looking for better circumstances?
Many people, even believers, some of them are like the Athenians, seeking something new. The Bible's not enough. Tell me something new. Many people are looking to get something. Give me something. God, give me something. Rather than, Lord, I give myself to you. We looked at it this morning in Sunday school, Romans 12, 1 and 2. They're not interested in presenting their body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Lord, use me. Lord, you saved me from sin. I can't repay you, but I want to do everything I can to live for you now. Or is it, what else you got? What else you got for me, God? What, you need more? You're not going, hey, I saved you from hell. You need more? Well, he has more for us, but we got to get back to where that's enough. We got to get back to where the Bible is just enough. He has more for us. But the world and the devil and the flesh, they also have more for us too. We still got to fight them. We got to get back to where, God, you're enough because of who you are, not because you fed me. Not, are you not thankful that God feeds you? Yes. Are you not thankful that God gave you a good family? Absolutely. Are you not thankful? I mean, look, I'm looking around this church and I'm looking at parents with their children, all these families, people with their spouse. Those kids are having a good time. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Tyson's like, let me go down there. He said it, y'all thought it. I'm looking at husbands with good wives and wives with good husbands. I'm looking at parents with good children. I'm looking at people with their grown kids here with them. Angela and Brother Dwayne and, you know, here's Connie, and got your grown kids here with you in church. And I'm looking at people who we got clothes on, and we're all thankful for that one. And I'm looking at people with clean clothes on. Are we not thankful for all of these things? Let me ask you this. Hey, we can look at that and we can say, God is good. I'm thankful that there's somebody sitting on the front. Nobody sits on a front pew in church. Nobody sits on a front pew. Ever. I'm thankful that somebody sits on the front pew. He's going to tell me after church, it's just because I can't hear. I got to sit all the way up there. The sirens in the fire department are just, they've fried my hearing. I got to sit up there or I can't hear. Are you not thankful for that? Are you not thankful for this church and what God's done for you and feeding you and putting clothes on your back and giving you a good family? And this, maybe you had no family and this is your family. He said, well, look at the family he gave me. And we're thankful for all of that. But what if you're here and your wife refuses to come, your husband refuses to come, your kids are living like the world. What you're wearing, you've worn all week because it's all that you've got. What if there wasn't enough to eat this morning? You going to quit seeking God? You going to quit serving? You going to quit living for Him? Or are you going to say, Lord, you're enough? Yeah, we're thankful for those things, but we seek Him because of who He is. He said, you don't seek me because of the miracles, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. So the question to you this morning is, why are you seeking God now? If you're saved, why are you seeking Him? Or are you living for Him? Or are you just living to get something? Let me ask you this. Is your mindset more of what I can get from God, or is your mindset more of what can I give for God? Now, I'm not talking about when the plate goes around. I'm talking about it might be financial, it might be my time, it might be my talents, am I witnessing, am I telling people how to be saved? Or do you walk out of a church service, well, I didn't really get too excited over that one. Best way I ever heard it explained was this. Some people will walk out of a church service and say, I didn't really get anything out of that. Well, what did you give? What did you put into it? Did you come to worship God? Did you come centered upon Him? Did you come to magnify Him? Did you come to lift Him up? Was it all about Him? Or did you come in just to get, Lord, make me feel good today. Do something. You know, we don't believe in a work salvation. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about our service after we get saved. If you don't, okay, I'm going to say this, and you know that this should be true, but it's not always true. It used to be true. If you don't work, you don't get a paycheck. Now, that used to be universally true. We live in a world now where it's, scripturally, that's how it's supposed to be. You don't work, you don't get a paycheck. I didn't make any money this week. Why? I didn't get up and go to work. You didn't do anything. You didn't put anything in. You don't get anything out. You didn't put any into it, you don't get anything out. You didn't get anything from God today. Did you put anything into it? Did you come with a mind that said, I want to worship you, I want to serve you, I want to magnify you, I want to talk about how good you are, I want to make everything about you because it's all about you anyhow. Is it give me, or is it what can I give? Here's a crowd, and I'll begin to close with this. Here's a crowd that seeks Jesus for all the wrong reasons. It isn't because He's God in the flesh. It's not because they saw Him do the miracles and they said, He has to be God. It's because He gave them something to eat. He met a temporal need. Their bellies were full. You know what that tells us about them? It tells us what matters to them. And my concern is that it can happen among believers too. We get saved and we're glad to be saved and we love God, but you know, it's just, we just want Him to make everything better for us. Well, He did. You were going to hell and you're not now. How much better can it get? No, you don't get it. I don't want to be sick anymore. Well, too bad, because you live in a fallen body. Adam ruined that for you. No, you don't get it. I don't want to be hungry anymore. Well, we're sorry about that. But sometimes people get hungry. No, you don't get it. I want to get along with everybody. Why? You're saved. You can't get along with people that are living like the world. You can live peaceably among them. You can take them the gospel. How are you going to get along with them without being, can two walk together except they be agreed? No, you don't get it. I want this. I want that. I want that. I want that. Yeah, that's the problem. But it comes from people having a Santa Claus Christianity. God just does things for people. Isn't it right? Isn't that what God? No. No, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to die for the sin of the world. And that's what you needed more than a sandwich. That's what you needed more than a bill paid. That's what you needed more than a car, more than a house, more than getting along with your relatives, more than any of that. You needed to be saved, and I needed to be saved, and that's enough. And I am so thankful that He doesn't stop there. I am so thankful that He blesses beyond that. And I am so thankful that when we look at His Word and we live by obedience to His Word, that we see, hey, things turn out a little bit better. I'm so thankful that when there's a problem, I don't have to go it alone, and He's there. I'm so thankful that when I'm going through something that I don't understand, that I can't explain to somebody else, something that I don't know how to tell you what I'm going through, and I'm all alone, I'm not really all alone. I'm so thankful for that. Who wouldn't be thankful for that? Yes, there are benefits to being a Christian. Yes, it's wonderful. But that's not why we serve God. Why do we serve Him? We serve Him because He's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world.
and if I stayed hungry, if the bills all came due and they took the house and they took the car and the kids left and never came back and I never got over this sickness and I never felt good again and nothing ever got fixed and everything just fell apart, I serve Him because one day all of that's going to be done. And because I'm saved, I'll say goodbye to every pain, every problem, every trial, that'll all be done because of the blood of Jesus Christ that's been shed for me, and I'll spend eternity with Him in heaven. So the question this morning is this. First of all, are you saved? Have you repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone? Repentance doesn't mean have you stopped sinning. You can't do that. If you're not saved, you can't do that. Repentance is, yes, I agree with this word. I am lost. I am a sinner. I am on my way to hell. God said it. It's true. I agree with it. I have wronged Him. I am sorry for that. I want to be saved. I believe what He says. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's not just a mental belief. It's from the heart. It's not believing in. The Bible says it's believing on. We're putting our faith on Him. I believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, and He bore my sin on the cross, and He was crucified. They put Him in the tomb, and 3 days later, He came out victorious over sin, over death, and He ascended to heaven, and now He sits at the right hand of the Father, and I'm going to trust what He did, His payment for my sin, for salvation. That's number one. Okay, the second group, if you've done that, what are you seeking now? Why are you serving? Is living for God and being in the Word and coming to church, is it just to get? Is it for some feeling? Is it for a bill to be paid or food on the table? Or is it because of the first thing that He did? They're not there because of who He is. They're there because of what He can give them. And Jesus says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. He tells these lost people, quit making your belly the most important thing. Trust me for salvation, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Well, if you're saved, why are you laboring now? Are you laboring? Are you even serving? Are you laboring for Christ? Are you serving Christ? And if you are, what's the reason? What you can get out of it or what He's already done for you? What are you seeking? I would challenge you today and as this week goes along to examine, that we would examine ourselves and we'd ask that question, what am I seeking? God, why do I do what I do? Is it habit? Is it just all these benefits on the side? Or Lord, why am I doing this? And if you find that your motivation is not pure and that your motivation is not strictly who Jesus Christ is and what He has done for you, repent of it. Ask God's forgiveness for getting off track and get back on track. What do you seek? Who do you seek and why? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning and every day for Your Word, what it does in our lives. We are thankful, Lord, for all of the blessings and all of the things that You have done. We're so thankful for all of these things, Lord. But God, help us to never get over salvation. Help us to serve You not because of what You've, not because of the things, not because of the temporal things. Help us to serve You just for who You are and the fact that You've saved our soul from hell. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that hasn't trusted You for salvation, that You would convict their hearts, Lord, and that it would be clear to them. And those that are saved, Lord, I pray that You'd work on our hearts. Show us our motives and why we're doing what we're doing, and help us not to seek after temporal things, the things of the world. Help us to seek You, seek Your face, and live for You because of who You are and what You've done for us through salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.